Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Wily Sword examines the final major campaign of the Confederate Army of Tennessee in the Confederacy last hurrah Spring Hill, Franklin, and Nashville. A work of Civil War military history focused on the late 1864 Tennessee campaign. The book follows General John Bell Hood after the fall of Atlanta as he leads a damaged Confederate force northward in an attempt to alter the strategic situation in the Western. Theater. Sword concentrates on three linked events: the missed Confederate opportunity at Spring Hill, the devastating assault at Franklin, and the collapse at Nashville. Rather than treating these battles as isolated episodes, he presents them as a connected sequence of command decisions, battlefield confusion, logistical strain, and political pressure. The purpose of the book is not only to narrate military operations, but also to explain how flawed leadership and operational misjudgment helped destroy one of the Confederacy major remaining armies. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Spring Hill as the campaign moment where Confederate opportunity dissolved. Sword gives central importance to Spring Hill because it represents the point at which Hood Army had a realistic chance to damage or trap a Federal force before it reached stronger. Defensive ground. The episode is significant not simply because a tactical opportunity was missed, but because it exposed weaknesses that would shape the rest of the campaign. Confederate movements were aggressive in intention, yet poorly coordinated in execution. Orders, expectations, and battlefield awareness failed to align across command levels, allowing Union forces under John Schofield to continue moving toward Franklin. Sword treats this failure as more than an accident of night operations or terrain. It becomes evidence of an army whose command structure could still march and fight, but could no longer reliably convert maneuver into decisive result. Spring Hill, therefore, functions as the operational hinge of the book. Now, had the Confederate Army achieved its aim there, the subsequent events at Franklin and Nashville might have unfolded differently. By emphasizing the gap between opportunity and execution, Sword shows how campaigns are often lost before the most famous battle begins. Secondly, Franklin is a catastrophic frontal assault and a study in battlefield destruction. The Battle of Franklin forms the emotional and analytical center of the book. Sword presents it as a disastrous decision in which Hood ordered a large frontal assault against prepared Union positions late in the day. Pross, the attack has often been compared to the most destructive infantry assaults of the Civil War, and Sword emphasizes both the military futility and the human consequences. The Confederate Army suffered severe losses among officers and enlisted men, weakening a force already under strain. The importance of Franklin and Sword account lies in the combination of tactical clarity and command blindness. The Union line was formidable, the ground gave defenders advantages, and the Confederate attackers had limited prospects once the assault began, yet the attack proceeded with devastating results. Sword does not reduce the battle to statistics. He uses the event to show how battlefield courage can be squandered by poor judgment. Franklin becomes a case study in the difference between bravery and sound command, and it helps explain why the Army of Tennessee was so badly damaged before it reached Nashville. Thirdly, John Bell Hood. As a commander shaped by aggression, injury, and misjudgment, a major theme of Sword work is the character and command style of John Bell Hood. Hood had a reputation for personal courage and offensive spirit, but Sword portrays those qualities as dangerous when detached from operational realism. The book examines how Hood interpreted events, responded to setbacks, and pressed forward even when conditions argued for caution. His physical wounds, including the loss of a leg and an impaired arm, form part of the broader portrait, though Sword focuses more on judgment than on disability itself. Hood believed bold action could restore Confederate fortunes after Atlanta, yet his decisions in Tennessee often amplified the weakness of his army. Sword is notably critical of him, especially regarding Spring Hill, Franklin, and the persistence toward Nashville after heavy losses. The book also places Hood within Confederate political and command tensions, including the pressure to recover initiative in the Western theater. This focus gives the narrative a leadership dimension. Hood is not merely a battlefield figure, but the central agent through whom ambition, desperation, and flawed perception converged. Fourthly, Nashville as the final unraveling of the Army of Tennessee. The Nashville portion of the book shows the consequences of continuing a campaign after the realistic chance for success had largely disappeared. After Franklin, Hood Army was badly weakened, yet it moved on toward Nashville, where Union forces under George Hay Thomas gathered strength. Sword presents the resulting battle as a culmination rather than a separate disaster. The Confederate Army faced poor weather, inadequate supplies, declining morale, and an enemy positioned to exploit its weakness. When Thomas attacked in mid-December 1864, the Confederate line eventually broke, leading to a retreat that confirmed the effective destruction of the Army of Tennessee as a major fighting force. Sword stresses that Nashville was not merely a defeat measured by territory or casualties. It represented the collapse of an army institution that had already been damaged by years of campaigning and then mortally wounded by the Tennessee Offensive. By linking Nashville to Spring Hill and Franklin, Sword argues that the defeat was the logical outcome of a campaign built on overreach. Lastly, a campaign narrative that combines military mechanics with human consequence. One reason the book remains notable is its blend of operational detail and human-centered military history. Sword pays close attention to marches, timing, command decisions, battlefield positions, and the interaction between Confederate and Union movements. At the same time, the narrative is not limited to map-based analysis. The cost of decisions appears through the suffering of soldiers, the breakdown of units, and the repeated contrast between individual endurance and high command failure. This approach helps explain why the Tennessee campaign deserves more attention than it sometimes receives in broader Civil War surveys. The battles of Spring Hill, Franklin, and Nashville occurred late in the war, when the Confederacy's strategic position was deteriorating, but Sword shows that they were not marginal events. They helped remove one of the Confederacy principal armies from effective service. The book, therefore, operates on two levels. It is a detailed reconstruction of a specific campaign, and it is an argument about how military institutions can be destroyed by cumulative errors in leadership, logistics, morale, and timing. In conclusion, The Confederacy Last Hurrah is best suited for readers with a serious interest in the Civil War, especially those who want to understand the Western theater beyond the more familiar campaigns of Virginia, Gettysburg, or Sherman March. It will be especially useful for students of military leadership because Sword links battlefield outcomes to command decisions, communication failures, and the limits of offensive willpower. Readers looking for a concise overview may find the strategic and logistical detail demanding. But those details are part of the book value. They show how campaign failure develops through a sequence of practical breakdowns rather than through a single dramatic mistake. The book stands out from many Civil War battle narratives because it treats Spring Hill, Franklin, and Nashville as an integrated campaign of destruction, not as isolated engagements. Its portrait of Hood is severe, but the severity is tied to a sustained argument about responsibility and consequence. Compared with more general histories, Sword Work offers a sharper view of how the Confederate collapse in the West accelerated in late 1864. It benefits readers by clarifying why the Army of Tennessee lost not only battles, but also its capacity to function as a decisive army. If you would like to support Wiley Sword, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.